And Nick and I are back with Chicago Beer Pass. Been gone for 2 weeks. A lot to talk about that's been happening here in Chicago. My adventures in Denver, Utah, Salt Lake City. And we got some great events coming up here that you should be checking out. Get ready, Chicago Beer Pass.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, I'm Nick White.
Oh, man, I'm back. We're back. 2 week hiatus.
Good to see you, man. I feel like it's been forever, man.
I know. It does seem like a long time. I feel like we let people down. Not here, letting them know about the events. Just, we've been living life, drinking beer out in the world.
We usually go every week, so this 2 weeks off feels a little weird, you know?
And we had a break before that because you were out of town.
Yeah, so we're just kind of fumbling through the end of summer here.
Sorry, yeah.
But yeah, man. Living, man.
Yeah, so if this is your first time listening to Chicago Beer Pass, you know, if you're a new listener, you know, we've been gone for 2 weeks, so you don't know what to expect. But what we do, we drink a beer, something local, usually from Chicago, but it could be the greater Illinois area. Then we talk about the events we made it to the past week, and then we dive into what's happening this week that you should be checking out, and maybe some other ones like FOBAB coming up that you got to get tickets for, things like that that are highly important. And then we wrap it all up with a little beer news, like what's been happening. So
that's about it.
That's the show. So we just summarize it, and that's it. We don't even have to record.
We don't have to add any detail, man.
So the beer we're drinking this time, I was over at Miska's over here right by the office where we record, and I saw Yuzu Fierce from Off Color.
Right on. So this is a Berliner Weiss with Yuzu, which, you know, I believe we talked about it. It's like an Asian grapefruit, hybrid kind of thing. Yeah. And this is 3.8%. And, you know, I really dig that he's getting into these really delicate styles because he's probably, Dino S'mores is the one that the nerds probably get the most excited about.
Right, it's their big stout. I don't know, it's just the boozy of the beers.
Right, and you know, it's got like, you know, marshmallows and graham crackers and all this kind of stuff. And then like, he's not afraid to just go in the complete opposite direction and still
right,
does a killer job.
Here's a 1% beer that I'm going to charge you $12 for a 4-pack.
Right? I mean, and then I noticed on the Dino S'mores release that I've never seen it before. Like, we're sitting here with a 4-pack bottles. He's got 2-pack bottles. 2-pack bottles for 12 ounce.
Yeah.
So 12-ounce bottles. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the every label is The Adventures of the Grain Mouse, right? So he's lifting like a Yuzu orange like that's like 3 times his size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is basically, although it says like a, you know, kind of sour, and it's a Berliner Weiss. It's sort of like a Radler-esque kind of thing because it is grapefruity, and it's 3.8%, so that's nice and low, easy drinking beer.
That's a good point. I don't think it's as acidic as a Berliner Weiss is normally.
Right, or as tart tasting.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a nice rhythm to it. Mm-hmm. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, I haven't been over to Off Color in a long time.
Yeah, they got the bottle shop open now, and then I think they're doing tours on Saturdays.
Okay.
And they're neighbors with
Pipeworks.
Pipeworks, yeah. Just a little decommissioned alley separates them. A decommissioned alley that they found on accident.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I need to make it over there again. It's do some sort of bike ride, like revisit locals, like bike ride or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll sip on this. Nice to see them doing new stuff all the time. I saw Sibling Rivalry at the store too. I haven't had that one. It's like a Belgian triple, I think.
No.
So good stuff. Always enjoy their beers.
Agreed.
Sip on this. So what's been happening in Chicago?
Man.
What have you been drinking?
I don't know, man. I was a little sad and blue for a minute.
Drinking
man.
Bud Light and
I was drinking a Bud Light and a Bud Lime. You have to drink Bud Lime. Bud Lime comes in the can that looks like an energy drink, right?
Okay.
It looks like a Red
Skinny.
Bull. Yeah, the skinny can. Right. Yeah. No, I went to see, and this is how they're staying afloat, right? Bud Light is the number one selling beer in America. And they're staying afloat by, you know, just focusing on marketing.
Giving it away for free.
Giving it away for free.
We're number one selling beer, drinking beer, because we give it away. Just have it.
Right. So I went to Rosemont for a Little John and Justin Moore concert. Justin Moore's a concert, the country guy. And we all know Little John, you know, of 90s and early 2000s.
That's a
Southern hip hop fame.
That's a weird.
It's wacky as fuck. I'm like, how is this gonna work? Who goes on first? Lil Jon comes out with Benny the Bull and like those little guys that do the that bang on the buckets.
Was this like a straight up cash grab for them? Like,
I'm like, he's changing all lyrics to like shots and all his songs about alcohol, changing it to drink some Bud Light. This is like over the top with like, you know.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Just an unabashed display of great big gold American cash machine. And they're not even American anymore.
Oh, wow. You know,
it was funny though, but it was good. I mean, it was a good time.
Okay.
I mean, what bothered me is like, and it shouldn't bother me, right? But whatever. Like, hey, I got my Bud Light Lime, you know, let's give that a whirl. All right, great. So what's up? Let me at least like purchase some whiskey or something, right?
Okay.
Or, you know, they're like, nah, bruh. What you will have is this Bud Light at no charge. And if you don't want that, you can have this Bud Light Lime.
That you have to pay for.
At no charge. No charge.
Oh, so no charge for either.
So okay. Open bar, but only those two items. Yeah. So that gets a little weird after like three.
Bud Light Limes or just Bud Lights?
It's both.
Okay.
Both.
Well, one is water and one is like this citrus water, right?
Yeah.
I haven't had a Bud Light Lime in, I don't even know when. It's been a while.
Yeah. So that's what they're doing to stay afloat, man.
Okay.
The concert was fun, though.
No, I think that would be funny. At least you saw Lil Jon.
Lil Jon was awesome, man. And then Lil Jon's got, and that's starting to be a thing now. So his, you know, it's just him and the, you know, two turntables, right? And lots
microphone?
Of, yeah, two turntables and a microphone. You know, no dancers, no hype man, just him, you know, in a Bulls jersey. Oh, but he's got a video game of himself, Street Fighter style, like whooping people like all concert long. Like that's his lights.
Like the background.
That's his backdrop. The backdrop is him, you
just
know.
Just kicking ass.
<That's> all walking awesome. Through a city, just like beating people up, throwing them, you know, it was funny as hell.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. It sounds like a good concert. Did you make it to anything else then while I was gone?
Yeah, I went to a beer event that had, you know, a little bit more integrity to it. It was the Pilsner Urquell unpasteurized, unfiltered event at Kaiser Tiger.
Right.
Yeah, so Kaiser Tiger is the Patty Long's guys. That's their second location. Big sausage and beer emporium right at the other end of Restaurant Row in West
Randolph,
Loop.
Yeah.
On Randolph, yeah. So we actually did this event 6 months ago or so in like November, right? And we ended up on the roof, right? And one of the guys who's a writer in the Czech Republic came over and talked about, you know, how beer, you know, beer here versus there kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. What Pilsner Urquell, 1892, right? They take, they age half the beer in cask in like big wooden vats and then the other half in traditional like steel. Right. Nice. And then all they make is this one beer. You know, I'm like, well, what about when you go to the brewery? He's like, we get all our beer from one location, and the only thing they make year round is that beer.
Wow.
Pilsner Urquell. So it's a Pilsner. So it's a lot like champagne. Like a Pilsner technically can't be made outside of Pilsen, which is, you know, where they make this beer in the Czech Republic, right? Yeah. And then once a year, they do the unpasteurized and filtered version, which was the point of this. Oh, but the guys, this is part of the Miller Network. Miller, I'm still unclear. They either have the distribution rights or they just outright bought them.
Own them, okay.
Yeah, but they have a van set up. It's like a mobile van. So you get the really cool Pilsner Urquell tankards, and they're serving these beers from the mobile van. You walk in, and it's like a, you know, six taps in the history of Pilsner in there.
Could you get the other Pilsner Urquell, the unfiltered and the like filtered one, so you could see them side by side?
Yeah, so you could see them side by side. I thought last year the unfiltered one was a little bit a little bit less restraint, right? Like for me this year, they were kind of similar as far as like, I mean, as far as taste goes, like there was definitely a difference, right? I think the unfiltered one, you know, just it's everything was more pronounced. It was more bold, you know, and then but the body wise, like it was Last year, it kind of looked more like a wheat ale with a really thick, like, eggshell white head, right?
Oh,
it
looked okay.
Just like a wheat ale. But it was a Pils, but it tasted like a Pils. And it was a nice hot presence on it.
Yeah, I think I remember you talking about it last time we recorded it, yeah.
Yeah. I was the most interesting part, you know, I like lagers, and I like, you know, this traditional lager. We get a chance to, you know, drink something we overlook all the time, right? You know, Pilsner Kell. I mean, when was the last time you bought like a 4-pack of that, right?
Right. Why would I buy that? I may have it at the Publican or at like a...
Or at a Sox game or, you know, some kind of sporting event.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you do it something like that. Oh, but the most interesting part was we talked about, well, there were two things, right? The sale. You know, how Miller, so this is a Miller brand, technically, you know, Miller and 10th and Blake brand. And then, you know, they got bought by, they got approved by AB.
Right. It hasn't gone through yet.
Right.
But it's in the process.
So I'm like, well, how does this affect you guys? Because we know those guys. We recorded a show. We recorded the show at Miller Coors headquarters downtown Chicago. So really, he's like, man, it affects us. It doesn't affect us at all. And he they made a couple statements like they feel like people who have reported on it in-depthly have kind of given people the wrong view of it as far as saying things like, hey, most of the beer you drink is only made by one producer now, right? Because of the AB Miller merger.
Yeah.
He's like, that couldn't be further from the truth because like Miller Coors is a joint venture between Miller and Molson Coors.
Right.
So that's the split in America. So for what that means is that all the brands we know, you know, your High Life's, your 10th and Blake's, everything that we know Miller to be, they all split and went to Molson. So so High Life and Budweiser won't be on the same portfolio. And for me personally, I kind of thought that's what was happening and it didn't make sense to me at all. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So
I think it is confusing, but it is kind of true that a lot of the brands are like your money. If you're buying Goose, your money's going to AB. If you're buying this beer, it's going to AB, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's made by different people, but the profits go to the same person,
and that's
right?
The part, that's, you know, that's shady. And that's the part that's confusing me. Because, like, Goose, when you go to Goose, Goose is completely independent from Anheuser-Busch. They have no interest in remaking Budweiser, none of this shit. They're like, that's their beer. These are our beers, right? But,
sure.
But, at, like you said, at the end of the day, it's all the same crew. Yeah. All the same company, we'll say that, not the same crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
they get their money from the big boy, the daddy.
Right. So, and they're kind of suggesting, like, hey, you know, this was all about the brands on the SAB Miller side.
Right.
And those brands are mostly brands in like Africa and Mexico. So this was all about Budweiser getting into Africa and Mexico.
Right. Because they already have Bud Light, number one selling beer in America. They don't need Miller Lite. They don't need High Life. They need Africa. They need these other markets that they're not in.
Yeah, they're
This is a whole another.
They're not dumb. They got the Iron World domination, man. And you know, that's all they care about.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but so I asked him, like, hey, well, where does this rank in, you know, your portfolio? Because you got he's like, well, we got Leinekugel domestically anyway. The Leinekugel and Crispin are a little bit a bigger brands for them.
Sure.
And then after that is Pilsner Kell.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. This is just on the 10th and Blake side.
Right. Man, so. I wonder, like, Pilsner Kell, it's a great beer.
It's a fun beer. I like it. You know,
I just wonder, like, who's that audience that is picking up the six-pack or four-pack? It's become four packs, I think?
Yeah.
The six-pack?
Possible, or cans or something. Like, yeah.
I don't think it comes to cans.
Who's crushing? What bar in Chicago is crushing a whole lot of Pils or Kell?
Right, or who's just buying it to take home? Like,
that too.
That this is your go-to beer?
Yeah. I don't know. So it was nice to revisit a beer that gets, a good beer that gets overlooked, I think.
Yeah.
It gets lost in the shuffle.
Sure.
You know? Oh, and one more thing about the Pils or Kell event. You know, they, when they do this unpasteurized, unfiltered thing, when they do it in the Czech Republic, you know, it's a big ceremony. There's like horses that draw, you know, the only kegs of it to the one bar, right?
Okay.
And then to get it here, they fly it over here. You know, they say, so it's an equivalent to like $1,000 a keg to get it over here.
Wow.
And that's, so they're seeing really low margins on that. And this is what I dig about them. They're like, hey, we're really about like, you know, just having an experience here with this beer. It's not really about, with this beer, it's not really about cash at all.
Sure.
And then even when it's, I thought it was like a Guinness play because, you know, Guinness is made in like fucking 20 continents, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's like, no, it's all made at this one location and we refrigerate it. and we ship it on a boat, refrigerated. So that as well is also, it's also like an expensive play for them.
Damn. Okay.
So, yeah, and I didn't know any of that stuff about Pilsner Raquel.
No.
You know. So, yeah.
I mean, making me want to have one.
They had me hooked, man. I'm sitting there, you know, with my with my head in my hands. It's like, oh, just all
I love your story.
Romanticized about the fucking.
It's so pretty.
Of this Pilsner.
Man, that's all. Well, sounds like a couple good events. Did you do anything else, or?
Oh, we didn't get a chance to talk about it. I went to the Brooklyn Mash event
a couple weeks
back, and that's when Brooklyn Brewery, they just invade a city. You know, there's like four stops in America. There's like DC and Austin, and then Chicago's one, and then Philly, right? Oh, but then yeah, just take over a city for a weekend and do cool events, basically. Uh-huh. Right? There was a standout beer, man. It was called the Discreet Charm of Frambois. It was a sour ale with raspberries. There were other beers, like there were ghost beers there, but that was the one that stood out for me, man. Yeah, and they said that they're looking to get out of brewing because, you know, they brew like upstate, right? That's where a lot of their beer is like contracted out.
Sure.
They don't brew. Most of the beer they sell isn't brewed
at the Brooklyn Brewery.
Yeah. So they're trying to get away from that. They're going to move move production from upstate New York to Staten Island, which is right on the other side of the river from Brooklyn. Uh-huh. And then they're going to move from Williamsburg, where they are now, which is kind of like, for lack of a better term, like the Logan Square or Wicker Park of Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're moving from that to an area, to a neighborhood near the stockyards. Or not the stockyards, that's Chicago, but closer to the river.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Whatever the...
They're moving to the river so they can get on the boats faster. Yeah. Yeah. Their neighborhood is disrupted by all the beer they're making.
Okay.
So they want to get closer to revamping an area that's not as developed as the one they're in.
Right.
In the same city. So.
Where it wasn't as developed when they started. So it's kind of funny that they're almost starting over then, right?
Yeah, that would be like Haymarket leaving... Haymarket was like when a Restaurant Row is like, you know, the big destination in Chicago now.
Yeah.
And Haymarket was one of the first ones there. That'd be like Haymarket leaving Randolph Street.
And going to Michigan. To
right. Start. Oh, wait a second.
That was cool. So I wasn't here in Chicago to go to any of these events over the summer. The last, like, what, 9 days I was gone.
Yeah.
But went to a lot of breweries. We went to 9 breweries in Colorado. Let's see if I can I remember them all? Let's see.
I'd be impressed if you
Joyride Brewing.
Yeah.
Great Divide. Our Mutual Friend. Went to an Oscar Blues tap room kind of thing.
Because they got like 5 of them.
Yeah. Was that 4? Then I went to Left Hand.
Okay.
Which that was kind of cool. I forgot. Yeah, they were like right down the street from the Sostic Blues like brew pub thing. Yeah. Went to Vail Brewing because we were driving. We were in Vail.
Vail, Colorado?
Yeah, Vail. Okay. That's a great divide.
Yeah, you said Great Divide.
Oh, I said Great Divide.
What about Avery? Did you go to Avery?
Went to Avery, there yeah. Oof. I got, what, 2 more?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm blanking on...
Breckenridge? I don't know.
Did not go to Breckenridge. I feel like they were smaller breweries.
Yeah, you got close. You know, I know that Denver is, or just Colorado in general, they opened like 44 breweries last year, you know, which in compared to Chicago.
Did I say Our Mutual Friend?
Our Mutual Friend.
Yeah. That was probably my favorite Colorado brewery. I love the name. The vibe was very Chicago where they're playing vinyl records and they're just like, they seem the most interested and cared about the beer versus all the other Colorado breweries I went to. They were just kind of like
cattle herding, like here's your beer,
like whatever. Like they wanted to talk about it and be like, oh, what'd you like? They actually asked, like, oh, which one did you like when we got a sample? And I'm like, oh, we like this one. They're like, yeah, that one's cool. And they like have beers named after the Wu-Tang Clan.
No kidding.
Yeah. So that was cool.
See, and I like to hear about stuff like this because like when you go there and you know everybody tries to get there once a year. GABF is there every year. You're completely overwhelmed by the number of breweries there, and you're like, listen, I only got 3-4 days. What am I hitting?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah. What'd you think about Denver? Had you been to Denver before?
I had never been to Denver.
Yeah.
I was not a huge fan of Denver as a whole. You know, we came in the weekend, so we were there mostly like over the weekend, and I think we left on a Monday.
Yeah.
So the city is dead. It's like going to downtown like on like the west or just on the weekend here. Like nothing's there. Nothing's open. Yeah. There's no one walking around. I think I parked the car to do breakfast on our first day there. I was like, I don't even know I can park here because there's nobody around. Like,
it's like that town that The Walking Dead is in.
Yeah, it says I can park here. Like, all our stuff's in the car. I hope we're okay. It's like, I don't know. I'm in this city for the first time. I don't know what to do. Like, can I park here? I'm like, I'm used to, like, should I go to a street where there's other cars? So I know.
So you freaked out about Denver. So Denver's not...
not like freaked out, like scared. Like,
no, but just like, you're just kind of like, ah, I thought this would be better.
And then Maeve and I walked around quite a bit. We walked by Miller Park.
Yeah.
And then we realized like the next day we're at like a breakfast or lunch place right near there. And we're like...
Oh, you mean where they make Blue Moon, right? That place, right?
Yeah, or the stadium.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And then we were at a brunch place the other day and we were like, oh, we're right. We walked by it. So... It's small to walk around. Yeah. But that strip, like we were walking by the Miller Park, I think right after a game let out, it was Wrigleyville.
Oh, yeah. It's like Wrigleyville West, huh?
Yeah. It was like you could see like down the street there was some sort of club with like lasers and lights flashing. There's all these like almost like taco truck vendors on the corner selling burritos and things like that. I ended up getting one of those like at midnight, which was probably a bad idea, but
man, I've always been impressed at how they like, even from a state level, how they're able to support all these breweries, man. You know, because like you go to certain neighborhoods there, and you know, there's like five or six breweries in a neighborhood,
right?
I mean, in a neighborhood that might have like 30,000 people in it, you know, like it's intense,
yeah.
You know, and I've always admired that about them, you know, just about the Denver scene.
And then Lisa Zimmer messaged me, I think, as we were leaving our last day, like, you should check out the Blue Moon.
They got a new thing.
Yeah, new one. She's like, making some good beer there. I was like, yeah, if we would have had, you know, another day or something, we might have went there, but had to move on. Went to Salt Lake City. You know, Salt Lake City is, there's population is bigger in Salt Lake, or in Naperville than Salt Lake City.
No kidding. So.
Which is ridiculous when you think about it. Like living in Chicago here, like our population is crazy, and then our suburbs are bigger than like these third, fourth tier cities. So
you're touring the Great Wide Open. You land in Denver, and then the goal is to head west
to Portland.
Got it. Mm-hmm. All right.
Salt Lake City, we hit up a brewery there. Or Utah is funny because you can only have beer on tap for 4% or less if it's on tap.
Really?
You got beer to go. They call it strong beer.
Oh, but you can't.
You can't have beer on tap.
How dare you imbibe? Like,
but that's awesome for Maeve and I. Like, we're on a road trip. Like, we need to drink and go. We can't be, you know, getting drunk and driving. Like, this is not good. So, I'll take a 4%. Like, basically an IPA that's like a lot of flavor. Like, I think they've perfected this. Here's your 4% stout.
Yeah.
Because we have to.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah, I remember Lagunitas making a beer just for Utah and having it, and it was super low.
Yeah.
For that. It's like a 3%.
So that was cool. I hit up Boise, Idaho. Boise was pretty nice. Some good breweries, a lot of breweries there.
The only brewery I've heard of in Idaho, period, was, and they were nice enough to send some samples a while back. It's the Squatters Sasquatch, where they've got the polygamy porter.
Right.
And on nitro. That's the only brewery I've heard of in Idaho.
Didn't go there, but there's a lot. It feels like a mini Portland. Like Portland, Oregon, like 15 years ago. There's like 10 breweries, nice downtown. It's super quiet and clean because there's nothing around. So there's really like, I met up a buddy there. There's not a lot of crime happening here because there's nothing around. Like, what are you going to do? Like, where are you gonna go? There's no like shady characters drifting into town kind of idea.
So you go to Colorado, then you make your way to Idaho. Now, is there like a quick excursion to Vegas or
no Vegas? Then we're just on to Portland.
Okay, and then you went to Portland.
Hit up some new breweries there, and so it was just good amount of drinking. And
yeah,
I don't even know our total number, but nine in Colorado, I think. Two in Utah. Four in Idaho, and then like another like five in Oregon.
Yeah, that's cool, man. You got to visit the Great Wide Open. you know? Mm-hmm. You get to escape, occupy Chicago.
Right, because why would you fly to Boise, Idaho, right? There's not, unless you had some sort of event you were going to, there's not a lot of reason to go there. So it's cool to check it out.
Yeah.
See all these new places. So that's been my, couple weeks. It's nice to be back here in Chicago. Miss some of the beers that I couldn't have. Came across some other good ones, but nothing like, I don't know, I think I'm spoiled. Right? You start to drink when you go to other places. You're like, yeah, this IPA is good, but I can't get it. I'm not going to remember it.
It's not Ninja versus Unicorn good.
It's not Daisy. How can I get a Daisy Cutter? Come on.
Yeah, we forget how spoiled we are here.
Yeah.
You know.
I think one of the most memorable beer was from this Lost Notion in Portland, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
They had a beer that was like a blueberry muffin beer that was really good, and that kind of stood out. And then it's kind of like the weird beers.
It's hard to it's harder to stand out. I don't know what else to say, you know? There's almost 4,500 breweries and everyone's probably still friendly to each other when they go to big parties.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, Sam Adams is probably gunning for Sierra Nevada's taps, you know? it's becoming, that's the space we're in now, you know? And it's harder to stand out.
Right.
Yeah.
But we got some good events coming up here, right, this week?
Yeah, we do, actually. We'll start on Thursday, the 15th.
Wait, I got one for Wednesday.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
It's the second anniversary of Arcade Brewery, and they have an event going on. Let's see if I can re-find it here. But I cannot believe it's already been 2 years for Arcade. I feel like it's also been maybe longer than that in my mind.
Yeah, and we were saying that they moved from El Syndicate, and they're doing their thing somewhere else now, right?
Right, so they're over, it's on Western, near Ipsento. I don't know if you know that coffee place. But it's their second anniversary party at Emporium Arcade Bar. I think this is the Emporium, the original.
Yeah, the Emporium. One in Wicker.
Yeah. So it's just
the one that has actually focuses on video games. The other one's all about you know.
Oh yeah, because there'll be beers on tap, so there has to be that one because the other one doesn't have beers on tap.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the permanent thing for them because they have less video games. It's all about pinball. And no taps at all. I don't know.
So you go over there, celebrate. They'll have the Grapefruit IPA, the Mega Man Milk, or the Mega Milk Stout. It's not Mega Man Milk Stout. Alice's Honey Saison, Citra World Double APA. I think there's going to be a Street Fighter V tournament as well. They'll do that drink and draw contest. And then, a lot of other fun stuff. They got a lot of sponsors and just things like that have donated stuff like PlayStation, GameStop, Threadless, Busy Beaver Buttons. So
where's this again?
At Emporium.
Oh, right on.
On Emporium. Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Second anniversary party. Check it out.
Yeah. Cheers to those guys, man. And then on Thursday, September 15th, Jake Melnix is celebrating with a cider bash.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, there's pumpkin ales, there's Oktoberfest, and then, there's a bunch of cider stuff happening apparently with the changing seasons. Yeah. These guys are doing a full cider inspired menu of food. So smoked apple barbecue wings, for example, you know, and then it goes on and on. There's 10 of those items. But then this looks like Cider Summit, man. There's 14 different cideries.
Damn, okay.
In attendance at this thing. Of course, you know, the usual suspects, you know, Vandermill and a Seattle cider. But Original Sin, Finn River, which is up in Washington, which I really did.
Oh, I don't think I've had them.
And of course, Virtue. So yeah, that's going to be on September 15th. That's a Thursday. That is a $40 ticket at Jake Melnick's Corner Tap.
Awesome.
It's part of our part of our beer crawl there.
Right. We got to do it. We got to plan it.
We got to do it before it gets cold, man.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Pick a day. We'll discuss it soon. It's Thursday. All right, anything else on Thursday or going to the weekend?
No, let's dive into Saturday, man. Looks like Burn City is the first of the big breweries that have their Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. So this is on the 17th, Saturday, and it's a $15 to fill the stein, which is like 60 ounces of beer, right? Whew. And then you get to keep the stein.
Okay.
And if you want to refill that beer, it's only $6.
Refill your whole stein?
Yeah.
What?
How cool is that?
Man, could you tag team it with somebody, right? Or is it like, no, you shared that. Nope, can't refill.
Yeah, I'd give you another one if you stop sharing it with this guy.
It's a lot of Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
We were drinking the Oktoberfest on the episode.
Yeah, they're calling it October Rex because it's got the artwork with the T-Rex on it.
It's pretty tasty.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot.
So that's Saturday.
Yeah, Rev's doing theirs. It's a two-day affair, but that's not until 23rd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Little Goat has a rooftop Oktoberfest on Sunday.
Oh, right on. Man, so this is it for summer, huh?
This is it. Say goodbye. Oktoberfest kind of closed things out. So this is on the Little Goat roof at 3 p.m. It'll have Oktoberfest from Half Acre, which I forgot that they even had an Oktoberfest. Goose Island, Firestone Walker, Great Lakes, Urban Chestnut, and it'll be $6 for beer and then food to order. So it's really just come hang out on a roof kind of thing.
Firestone Walker, man, they might be the best in all of the land here, man.
The best brewery?
They might be. I don't know, man.
Well, I often say DBA is maybe my favorite beer.
Yeah.
If there was a DBA, I'd be like, yes, please.
Yeah, they hit so many styles out of the park, man. I enjoy what they do.
You might be right. The best in the land.
If you could only pick one,
only pick one.
Might, if that, that it might be them. Yeah. I'm just
someone
saying.
May pick one, and they'd be like, fire someone, and be like, oh, yeah.
Right on.
Cool. Anything else this weekend or next week, even early?
Yeah, there's some more Oktoberfest stuff popping up. And then we'll keep you guys updated on the calendar.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, be sure to follow us on Facebook because we're always sharing events there, just stuff you should check out. Like I'll post this Little Goat thing here after we record, so check that out.
Yeah, for sure.
Before we get out of here, any beer news? Anything been happening?
A little bit of beer news, man. Mitch Steele, who was a brewmaster at Stone, he announced that he was leaving about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's popped up again. He's going to open a brew pub in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess he feels a need to express some love to the Peach State.
Okay.
The biggest news the last couple of weeks has probably been Anheuser-Busch has added again. This time they bought a Belgian classic, man. They bought the brewery Bostils, which is responsible for probably two of the most recognizable presentations for beer in Belgium, period, right? The Trappel Carmelite and the Quack. You know,
I know the quack comes in that like get a wooden stand and it's weird
and like a little beaker.
Ball. Yeah,
yeah.
What's the
quack is like an that's quack, but Trappel Carmelite is it's like a Belgian triple, like 8.5%. Oh, but it comes in like this really cool bulb that looks like it's got like a shield. It looks like a shield and it's frosted and it's got it looks like something that like
I bet I've had it.
It's a really fantastic. Yeah, and then like half the. Almost half the glass is it's oversized. So then half the glass is like the is the head.
Okay.
Like it's a really cool presentation on a Trappel Carmelite.
Trying to picture. I'm sure I've had it at Half Hop Leaf or something like that.
Yeah. So
how do you feel about this?
I mean, dude, at this point you just gotta look at what they're doing and say, hey man, you know, they're here to win. Fucking AB's here to win.
Are you?
You know,
are you less likely to buy a quack?
That's an interesting question. That's an interesting question because, like, I still buy if Sophie's on draft and it's glassware, and I think that's where this makes sense for them, right? Because like locally, Goose has always been the one brewery that really focused on elegant glassware first with that chalice, you know, for your Sophie and your Matilda. So I mean. For me, that's still a good beer. I dig that. I dig Sophie.
Sure. No,
So, I mean, I don't know, you know, and a lot of it has to do with if it changes. And then there's a small part of it that says, you know, I'm just not a big fan of how you guys move, you know. So, I don't know. I'm torn. Clearly, I'm having a hard time with the words.
Yeah.
I'm torn. I don't know.
Yeah, they keep picking up some of these older breweries that have been around for a long time. My I'd be interested to hear like someone in that region how they feel like.
Yeah, like some of these like importers that bring these beers in. I'd like to know what they think.
Yeah, like this, although they're not an American company, they feel. Yeah,
but if you look into their ownership, they there's like a Dutch investment firm that owned like a large percentage of them before this happened. Mm-hmm. So it kind of sounds like the writing was on the wall anyway. Like it wasn't like this, you know, this cute, you know, on the side of a mountain. You know, family story, right? Like they were in bed with like an investment firm in you know, Deutschland anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's gotta be nuts. What's the cap, right? Before it's like you own too many breweries. Like we gotta say you can't buy anymore.
Yeah, they're playing chess, man. It's weird because they're like a publicly traded company, but then they're like in the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. Right? Like they got a lot of different moves, man. They got like a little Swiss Army knife of moves, you know. No. We're small.
Tell us what they're saying over there. Send their man in. You know, he'll have a beard and a plaid shirt. He'll flip right in.
it's interesting to see how these guys move, man. You know? Uh-huh. It's man.
Yeah, I think Good Beer Hunting might have had a story up on his blog about this sale and stuff, so check that out. But I think that's gonna do it for Chicago Beer Pass. Some good events coming up. Summer drawing to a close. Sad. No video version this week.
No.
But we got a fun episode coming up next week, right?
Yeah, I'm excited about this, man. You know, we've had some Chicago luminaries on the show before. We're excited to add to that list next week. We will be broadcasting from Half Acre Beer Company.
Nice.
Yeah, we've got the founder, Gabriel.
With video. I'll bring the camera. I'll make sure I have it. So we got that.
I'm pretty stoked about that, man. That should be good. Mm-hmm.
So, Nick, where can people get in touch with you, find you when you're not recording here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Facebook page I mentioned, that's / Chicago Beer Pass. Sharing events there as well. We'll be back. I don't think we have any more vacations or time away planned probably until the holidays.
No, we're dialed in. We're gonna hit fall, hit it hard.
We'll do it. So cheers. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.